soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Many blessings. Well, this is Bill, and I'm talking to you from, well, a certain state of consciousness. And the date I see on my computer is March 2nd of 2014. And the chapter we're going to be reading from was written, or spoken rather, and then written, in March of 1964. So that makes it just about exactly 50 years. 50 years since it's been uttered. And why is that relevant? Well, I think it's relevant because as we get into this chapter, which is from the book Living Between Two Worlds by Joel, and it's chapter 5, The World of Material Sense and the World of Spiritual Discernment, as we move into this chapter and really move into it and let it move through us, ask yourself, or just ask later, how many people do you know that are living this way? This was uttered 50 years ago, half of 100 years ago. How many people do you know that are making this transition? And it will tell you how few there be that enter. And if you are an advancing student, as I hope I am, then you can enter this consciousness. So, almost 50 years to the day, we will hear again what was uttered by the Spirit through Joel on how to make this transition. So we'll start just with the first couple of paragraphs exactly like they are. When the Master said, "My kingdom is not of this world," he implied that there are two worlds. And yet, the truth is that there is only one world. God made all that was made, and anything that God did not make was not made. Since God is spirit, the only world is a spiritual world, and the only man is spiritual man. Well, I guess we can just close up the books now and go away and concentrate on one thing and one thing only for the rest of our existence here on Earth, and that is to realize that there is no Earth. There is only spiritual universe and spiritual man. And a realization of this at depth will give every one of us our freedom, but more than that, it will give us our Christhood. For the consciousness of this is Christ. These are my words now. I'm not reading. I stopped reading where it said, the only world is a spiritual world, and the only man is a spiritual man. So he says, then what did the Master mean when he said that his kingdom was not of this world? And what do we mean when we speak of the two worlds as taught in the infinite way? First of all, we mean that there is only one world, and it is spiritual. The other world is the materialistic concept that we entertain about the spiritual world. It is not really a world, any more than the world of the insane is a real world. The world of the insane is a world lived within the mind, an imaginary world they have conceived. It has no external existence, any more than does the materialistic concept of world that we all accept have an existence outside of the mind. Okay, so there we have it. Joel has just informed us all that we are insane. We're living in an insane world. A world that's not a world. I've been saying this to you for a couple of years now. It never gets outside of the mind. We're living in concepts. We're standing in a spiritual universe, but we're living in the mind. We must rise out of that mind. Rest in consciousness and let God reveal what's really here. But in his words, he says, "The proof is that through the development of spiritual discernment, we are able to see the world as it is. We are able to see the materialistic concept evaporate. And in its place, we behold a world of harmony." Now, this is not something you can do. You cannot sit down and say, okay, I get it. I'm seeing concepts. There's only a spiritual world here. So let me close my eyes and rehearse and repeat a lot of truth statements and then get quiet for a minute, and that should do it. No, because that doesn't do it. We listen to these talks. We listen to Herb or Joel or someone else. We read books. We close our eyes for a minute, and we open our eyes, and we're still in a materialistic world. Something else is required. Spirit itself has to awaken us. And when spirit does it, then the materialistic concepts evaporate. There's no such thing as a healing, ever. You've never been healed. No one has ever been healed. Everyone is spirit, expressing in a spiritual universe. But we see everyone as human. And we live in the world of the insane. Which is why there can be man's inhumanity to man and all of the horrors that we witness. Because it's a mental illusion. And we're standing in the mind. We're not aware of where we're really standing. Through meditation and the practice of meditation and learning to rest out of or rise above that mind and rest in this inner stillness, in an inner consciousness, then God reveals the universe of God's creating. And we say, "Oh, look, that problem just disappeared. It evaporated." And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, through spiritual discernment, we are able to see the world as it is, and the materialistic concepts evaporate. So, he says, once we realize that the answer is in meditation, well, so begins the search for God. And during that search, he says, these persons, that would be you and I, and him, are living between the two worlds, the world of material sense, in which you give power to persons, places, and things, and conditions, and the world of spiritual awareness, where we begin to believe there's something greater than the external. It's a volleying back and forth, living part of the time in the world of mind and matter, and part of the time in the world accepting God as the greater. Meditation is the way to freedom. Says Joel, very few persons have been able to lift themselves above the two worlds, because no one can do this unless he has a revelation within himself. What revelation is that? Well, the ultimate truth is that we can become free only by the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth revealed within. He says freedom can come only from God, and that can take place only as an activity within your own consciousness. So he's given you here the key. And the key is meditation and having some sort of an inner revelation, an inner experience, an inner glimpse. The word. Now that's not words up in your mind. You can't stand in the mind that's seeing material sense everywhere, seeing a material universe. You can't stand in the mind of the insane, repeat a lot of statements of scripture, and free yourself from that mind. It won't happen. There has to be an inner revelation, an inner experience, an inner word received from a different mind. Not words, but word. When that happens, you are lifted out of that mind and you catch a glimpse of reality. That's what he says over in The New Horizon. So, it is usually a gradual experience, because without inner preparation, it is very difficult to receive truth or to receive the word. The shock is so great, a gradual transition in consciousness must take place. He says that a lot. Truth is shocking. I've said that too in the past. I told you many times of my experience when I went up there to that Herb Fitch seminar in Avila Beach. And we had a class on stepping outside of time. Because I was lifted out of the human mind and into and rested back in infinite consciousness. And I experienced myself as infinite. And I looked at your face and I saw mine. And I felt your face on mine. And I felt myself in the trees and the trees within my being. Felt myself in the universe and the universe within the I. And it is shocking. Quite shocking. The mind doesn't know where to put it. Because the mind has created this nice little identity called Bill or Jane or Sue or Tom. And lived in it for 40 years or 50 or 60 or 70. And so it doesn't know where to put this new identity, this infinite being. And it's shocking. Very shocking. But if you've prepared yourself through these meditations, lo these many years, then you can catch a glimpse like that. And it's actually quite beautiful. So, says Joel, it was given to me that the way for what? The way to awaken out of the mind of the insane, seeing this world that doesn't exist, into the mind that was in Christ Jesus, God's mind, really, that reveals the spiritual universe. So he says, the way was given to me that in those moments of meditation, when I could be quiet and receptive to the still small voice, then I knew that this was the way, which ultimately everyone who had sufficient patience to attain meditation could be set free. In other words, we awaken out of a conceptual universe into actual discernment of a spiritual universe. You see, in Beyond Words and Thoughts, in the chapter Truth Unveiled, or The Unveiling, whatever it is, he says, Joel says, that the ascension is always the same. The ascension is one of rising above the mind. Rising above concepts about truth to truth itself. All that I am seeking, I am. And I experience that I am. And the way to that lies in meditation. Meditation opens consciousness and prepares the way to receive truth. The truth is that there is but one spiritual universe, the kingdom of God, which is the same on earth as it is in heaven. But as human beings, we cannot behold heaven on earth until we have developed our spiritual faculties. We must develop the spiritual faculty of discernment, something entirely different from any of the human faculties, because none of the human faculties can bear witness to truth. And so, meditation, as he describes it, as the way to set us free, is not a thought about truth, because you're still in the insane mind. No, it's a resting back until truth announces itself, reveals itself. It's an actual glimpse of that spiritual universe. Not a human faculty, because none of the human faculties in the human mind will ever reveal the truth. No, he says, spiritual healing has to do with the faculty of spiritual discernment. Remember, he says, the eyes contradict this. The ears, the nose, the taste, the touch, all these contradict spiritual sense or spiritual discernment or spiritual universe or a spiritual self. Yes, because the five senses are the tools of that insane mind. You didn't know you were insane, did you? But actually, you're not insane. The human mind is insane. The human mind is the world mind, individualized. There's one world mind, individualized. But that's not your mind. That's the mind of the insane. But if you dwell in it, live out through it, then you are acting insane, because you're acting from that mind. Or that mind is acting through you. I don't care what words you use. You know what I'm saying. But rising out of that mind through meditation, through listening, through allowing, through accepting, through being receptive. That mind which was in Christ Jesus, omniscience, it begins to operate you. Then you're living out from spiritual discernment, which reveals you're standing and always have been standing in the finished kingdom. Do you know what the kingdom is? Well, we're going to get to that. To a human being, how absurd this is, witnessing all the weapons that have been formed against man and seeing how effectively they are operating. The person who has risen to the place of dwelling in the higher consciousness, however, is living in an entirely different world. But this applies only to those who abide in the Word. Okay, so we've talked about this many times. Two people are sitting on a bus bench waiting for the local bus to take them into town to buy groceries. One person is living in the insane mind, probably judging the other one, just sitting next to them. This person is blah, 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 male or female, this many years old, looks like they don't have a lot of money, where they wouldn't be riding the bus, blah, 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 blah. And so the mind is going on, that insane mind, and they're living in the material sense of universe. Maybe by the time they're done making this grand judgment in their mind, they see the person sitting next to them as a possible enemy. Now they're feeling a little angry, resentful, fearful, all the time just sitting on a bus bench. However, the person next to them on that bus bench has had their morning meditation, has stopped, maybe they're practicing this 12 to 30 times a day, stopping in order to be receptive and catch a glimpse of reality. They are sitting there and they're seeing a spiritual universe. They look to their on the side of themselves, see this other person, and they see this person as God itself appearing. They're living in an entirely different universe, and they're only 2 feet apart. I should tell you something. What is the kingdom then? In the human world, says Joel, there is just one universal mind. And since everyone is attuned to that one mind, everyone receives impressions and impulses of both good and evil. That was Moses' little story of eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil meant that we started living from that mind that sees duality. This universal human mind is made up of the pairs of opposites. Now, says Joel, in Jesus Christ's ascended consciousness, having seen God as the Father, Jesus knew there could not be a material person. You see the difference? Living out from, or living up in, the universal world mind, which appears as a human mind, and listening to all its thoughts and acting out from them, acting out from love, hate, or fear of something in this made-up world, this world of concepts, you never get outside the concepts. Lifetime after lifetime is lived in a world of concepts, never, ever seeing where you are. But if you are fortunate, if it's time for you to awaken, then you begin to awaken. You almost can't stop it. You have glimpses of the real universe in which you're standing. It's very shocking to discover that you never left home. You're standing in the kingdom. My God, I've been standing in the kingdom, dreaming all this time. Dreaming, dreaming, dreaming. Look at Genesis. Look at Adam. He fell asleep. Nowhere does it say he woke up. He's dreaming all the time, dreaming, dreaming. In a mind of the insane. But as we catch glimpses, as we begin to awaken, we begin to see. Well, I'm standing in the kingdom. I have never incarnated. Never. I am not incarnated now. I am the Son of Omnipresence. I am Omnipresence itself. We begin to have other glimpses of other principles, of other truths. All the time we are being lifted into the Christ mind, which sees the spiritual universe. And here Joel says, in this mind, Jesus knew there could not be a material person. We come to the actual glimpse, revelation, realization, oh my God, there is no Bill. And that is enough to bring that mind to a standstill. Well, then what is? And if we are still and silent, the movement of spirit reveals the spiritual universe and the spiritual self and the spirit of God. So, on the next page, Joel says, we may be faced with an epidemic, but we must realize no weapon that is formed against us can prosper. If, he has this in italics, it's important, no weapon can prosper if we have learned to not take up the sword. Why is that? Why is that? Remember, he explains in Kalua Studies, I love the way he did this, where you begin to argue, and in legal terms it's called the two sides are joined or whatever. I can't remember the exact words, but I know the feeling. And the feeling is you're hooked. You're hooked. Now you're in that insane mind and you're wrestling with it. You're afraid. You're angry. You're resentful. Or maybe you even are hypnotized and loving something in there. But the point is, you're joined. You're attached. The struggle's on. You've picked up the sword. And now how are you going to die? By the sword of that insane mind. Standing in it, wrestling with it. But what if you don't take up the sword? What if you've had enough of a glimpse that you can say, aha, I see you. No, thank you. I know the truth. I can stand still and see the salvation of God. I can see what God reveals. I can be a beholder. What happens if you do that? Well, then he says, no weapon that is formed against you can prosper, because you refuse to take up the sword. And in your not taking up the sword, in a moment of stillness, I am come. So he says, this world is a mental world. The world of mind is the material sense of world. So there's one world, is this insane world of the insane mind, of the insane world mind appearing as a human mind. And the other world is my kingdom, the divine consciousness which is revealed by that mind that was in Christ Jesus. The attainment of that divine consciousness is our goal. So for you advanced students, and you know who you are, you have begun to have glimpses, not words, not thoughts, but actual glimpses, your goal should be one thing only: the attainment of the divine infinite consciousness. Now, we read over this quickly, but listen, see what I saw. The one world is the world of mind, the material sense world. But then there's my kingdom, the divine consciousness. Aha! Aha! And it's revealed by the mind that was in Christ Jesus. So, my kingdom is not a place. It is a consciousness. Where is my kingdom, if my kingdom is a consciousness? Where is my kingdom, if my kingdom is a consciousness? Where is it? It's revealed to you as you get quiet, become still, let go, stop fighting, as you rest back from the mind, the insane mind. It's revealed to you by the Christ mind. But where is it? Why is this so important? Because this is the step that separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls. This is the step that separates the spiritual adults from the children. This is so important that if you get this, if you realize this, where is the kingdom? Well, then hopefully you'll stop asking me to pray for toys so that you can have better toys and begin asking to help lift you in consciousness to a greater, deeper awareness of that which is. Again, there's the world of the insane mind or material sense, and then there is my kingdom, the divine consciousness, which is revealed by the mind that was in Christ's consciousness. And the attainment of that divine consciousness is our goal. The ultimate in attainment is when we achieve full conscious union with the divine consciousness. All right? Where is this kingdom? It's not a place. It didn't exist 2,000 years ago in a place called Jerusalem. It's not going to exist in some future place. We're not going to experience the kingdom of heaven in the sky by and by. This is the trap, putting it in the past or putting it in the future. This is the trap that has helped us stay in the world of the insane mind, which has these opposites. Good, bad, young, old, healthy, sick, rich, poor, past, future. The kingdom of heaven is divine consciousness. Now, where is the kingdom? Where is divine consciousness? To those of you that have had a glimpse, or are having glimpses, or are maybe even maintaining the awareness of divine consciousness, infinite consciousness, then you know the kingdom of heaven is your consciousness. And so where is it? Everywhere. Everywhere you find yourself, your I, there is the kingdom. For the kingdom is I. And there's only a thin little veil of material sense making it difficult to see the kingdom here now, or the consciousness here now. And again, he says the ultimate in attainment is when we achieve full conscious union with the divine consciousness. You see, it's not that when we attain conscious union with some God out there. There's no such thing. That God doesn't exist. That's the God we've prayed to all these many centuries and received very little in the way of answers. Would you agree that God and God's kingdom are one? Would you agree that the kingdom of God and God are one? One spirit. This is why this is so important, why I stress this so much. I do not want you to come to an intellectual agreement that the kingdom is consciousness. If you have no glimpse of consciousness, please don't do that. You'll add another concept which will keep you out of the experience. You don't want more concepts. If you do not know and you have not glimpsed consciousness, then admit it. You have to start where you are. So you have to say to yourself, I need these 12 meditations a day until something opens up inside of me and I catch a glimpse of consciousness, which is the kingdom. And since the kingdom is God, why, consciousness is God. Whose consciousness? Mine. My consciousness is the only God. My consciousness is the only kingdom. And that is how close? Closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. But we must have the awakening to it. We must have the spiritual discernment which shows us we are standing in it now. So, he says, there is a material sense of existence. But we can't blame a devil. There isn't any. The ills are due only to one thing, a material sense of existence, or this insane mind. None of these is material, he says. For God created all that was made, and God is spirit. Now listen. I'm going to read that whole paragraph. To the extent that you and I are still troubled with problems, that's what I call toys, be assured that is because some measure of material sense or the insane mind persists. We still entertain a material sense of body. We entertain a material sense of volcanoes and earthquakes. But none of these is material, for God created all that was made, and God is spirit. And so he says right here, you have no material body. But if you're walking around in a material sense of body, then this is going to sound pretty insane to you, when in fact, the material sense of body is the insane mind. And to arise out of that and awaken, awaken thou that sleepest, this will reveal the spiritual universe, the spiritual self, spiritual consciousness, called a kingdom, but spiritual awareness. When we see structural or physical man, he says, we are really seeing material sense. There is no such thing as structural man. Well, there you go. This is from a man that is standing in consciousness, looking out and seeing the spiritual universe and spiritual man of God's creating. He's looking through the appearance of structural man right into the invisible. But he is not doing this with that mind that sees material sense. He is standing still and beholding the other mind, the Christ mind, revealing itself. There's no such thing as structural man. Man is that self that is completely invisible to the eyesight. No one has ever seen man with his eyes. Because why? You must be able to see into the invisible in order to see God as an individual being. Even though material sense says there is power in the body, he says we must draw ourselves up into a higher state of consciousness and realize it's only material sense telling us this, because there is just pure spiritual being. All right. Is that not the same as this? In the new horizon, above the sense life, there is a universe of spirit, governed by love, people with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. This world is real and permanent, and its substance is eternal consciousness. In it, there is no awareness of either good or evil. Okay? That's the same. When material sense mind, the insane mind, says there's power in body, or power in weather, or power in the economy, or power in the current economics, or power in misunderstandings, then you and I must draw ourselves up into a higher consciousness and realize this is only material sense, because there's just pure spiritual being. Now, we don't do that by closing our eyes and repeating this to ourselves, blah, 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 in our minds. That won't give us the needed realization. That must come from a deeper mind. That must come from the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And that mind which was in Christ Jesus is not added to you. No, that consciousness, or God, or the kingdom, is your very inner being. But there's a little veil that covers it, and the veil is the human mind, the world mind, individualized as the human mind, seeing the knowledge of good and evil, of the duality, the opposites. And so that little veil must be dissolved. And it is dissolved, little by little, as we have these meditations, and we learn, really learn, to be a beholder, until that something, that higher consciousness moves and reveals itself. So he says, it's only our acceptance of an aging process, a deteriorating power, that makes us subject to it. However, through our higher consciousness, we begin to know that there is no influence out here affecting us. None. Because there's nothing out here. Well, there's nothing out here. We are standing in consciousness. It's all in here. Now look, I'm going to show you something. This is the very first chapter in the very first Infinite Way book called The Infinite Way. And the chapter is called Putting on Mortality. And it's the sixth paragraph. And right from the beginning, Joel told us this. Let us, and us is italicized, it means you and I that are advancing students, let us, then, begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one, but rather that the universe in which we live is the realm of reality. You see, right here, we're standing in a spiritual universe about which man entertains a false concept. Our work, then, of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not getting rid of or changing a mortal material universe, but it is in correcting the finite concept of our existence. You see that? From the very beginning, the very first chapter, the sixth paragraph, our work is going within, stepping out of that concept and the entire material sense of universe into the spiritual universe, resting back and allowing God to reveal itself, its spiritual universe, its consciousness, the I that I am, the I of you. Where is the kingdom? It's the I of you. You are the kingdom. You are consciousness. You are God. Not the material sense, not the insane mind that would say, oh, I'm God, I can... No. But the I of you, the invisible. When you have spiritual discernment and you're able to look into the invisible, the mind will be very still, very quiet. And in that stillness, very, very, very softly, the veil will lighten and lighten, and suddenly a voice will say, be still. I am God. That's the I of you, that's God. But it must be an experience and not a thought. So, Joel says, we will not prove this except in proportion as we open our consciousness several times a day, there we have the 12 to 30 times a day, to the realization that our consciousness has access to infinity, and infinity is flowing in us and through us and as us now. We are then building a consciousness in which we discover that man really does live by every word of truth that flows through his consciousness. So, the only way to prove this, he says, is through meditation, listening, being still and receptive, receiving, feeling, This is the way. He says material sense has to do with quantities and qualities, but spiritual discernment has no awareness of quantities or qualities. That's very, very good clue he gives you there. If you're still looking at quantities and qualities, good, bad, that's duality. Still looking with the insane mind. Step out of that, rest out of that, rise out of that. Be still and be lifted out of that by the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And when you do, well, he says, spiritual discernment knows only the allness of invisible spirit. It sees God as the consciousness of individual being. It does not see persons. Remember from his Hawaii Hotel talks? It's not easy to stop seeing human beings, but I've finally made it. He's telling you right there he has the higher consciousness. Right there, for all to hear, if you have ears to hear. So, spiritual discernment sees God appearing as individual being. And let us always remember now that what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell represents the material sense of things. But if we would be helpful to the world, we must now look through appearances, through them into the invisible. We must look through appearances with the power of spiritual discernment and behold God's creation. Now, spiritual discernment is not your mind, your human mind. That's an insane mind, and it will never reveal this to you. Spiritual discernment takes place when you drop that mind, if only for a moment, in meditation. And I remember this from Herb's talk. I remember him reading this right here. The mystery is not how a material world came about, but rather the discovery that it never did. There never has been a second creation. Ta-da! Now we can fold up all the books and put the chairs away and go down the road. You really can, if you have this inner realization of this, this revelation, this awakening. In this little two sentences here, he tells you there's no material universe, no structural universe, no material body, no material man. And the mystery is not how God could ever allow the second creation. No, the mystery is the discovery, the realization, the inner seeing with spiritual discernment that there never has been a second creation. God spoke, and himself became the Word he spoke, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We are standing in a spiritual universe, my dear friends, and we are awakening to the kingdom, to consciousness, to God, right here, right now. This material sense constitutes the illusory world, but there is no unreal or illusory world. There is a sense of evil, but there is no evil. And you can even say there is a sense of good, but there is no good, because he says in the Kalua study series, you're going to have to learn to do this with good too later on, because you can be up there in that insane mind beholding either one of the opposites. Good is just as much an illusion as evil. Neither one exists. This is a spiritual universe. Spirit. Learning to look into the invisible. Standing right here with our vision on spirit. So he says the world of material sense builds the human identity and then begins to take anxious thought. That's what we did. I built an identity called Bill. It wasn't my fault entirely, because when I got here, they were immediately saying things like, oh, don't put the baby in a draft, don't drop the baby. Oh, look, he's really good at numbers. Oh, look, he knows how to draw. Oh, but he's not very good at language. In fact, he has a little bit of a lisp or a language defect. Oh, he's not very tall. He probably won't be very good at football. See? Everyone helped me build this identity. But it's an identity only in the mind. Start seeing where that identity appears. Only God is. Dissolve yourself and awaken to yourself. The world of spiritual discernment fulfills whatever work is given to be done each hour of the day and beholds the invisible presence right here doing the living. Christ liveth. I live, yet not I now. Christ liveth, and I am beholding this invisible Christ right here. The two worlds are the real world of God's creating, with God expressing as individual being, your being and mind, friend or foe. And the other world, which is not a world, it's a material sense forming its own illusory concepts about the spiritual world and then making us act like squirrels in a cage. Now that, my dear friends, is an insane mind. Material sense imprisons us in our mind, but spiritual perception enables us to open consciousness, to see with God's wisdom. Material sense builds a structural universe where there really is no structural universe. The moment we begin to realize that God is spirit, the moment we have that inner realization, that glimpse, we rise above the sense world. We then perceive with spiritual discernment, or with our spiritual faculties. And finally, the last page. Gradually, as we learn not to judge by appearances, but are still for a moment, and let the Spirit of God bear witness, we will discern spiritually, and we will see as God sees. Now listen to me, listen. He is saying here, as you practice meditation, these 12 to 30 times a day, you develop the ability to be so still that you receive impartations from the God mind. Okay? So much so that you see as God sees. Now, who can see, listen to me, who can see as God sees? Only God. And I'll leave you with that. Anytime, he says, we are confronted with appearances that we do not understand, we must stop. Close our eyes, if possible, and be receptive as if we were listening. Then we will hear the voice. This is assuming you've practiced this so much that now you can almost at will be still and hear the mind that was in Christ Jesus, or consciousness, the kingdom, God, utter itself. The ability to move from the world of material sense into the world of spiritual discernment is proportionate to your ability to close your eyes to the appearance and wait for that inner intuition or voice of God to reveal to you the truth of what you are beholding. How many times has he said that in the writings? And for a new person, that must seem like almost an impossibility. What do you mean? I wait and all I hear is thoughts. Yes, because you have to come up through the principles the way we have. But it will work. If you immerse yourself in these writings, listen to the talks, and practice meditation, you will come to the place where you can close your eyes, become still, and God will reveal what you are beholding. You look right into the invisible with a new set of eyes. And finally, spiritual discernment demands, that's a demand, my friends, not a request, not a suggestion, it's a demand. Spiritual discernment, the mind which was in Christ Jesus, your consciousness, demands, instead of judging and arriving at an opinion, you close your eyes to the appearance. You stop. You open your ears, and you let God bear witness with your spirit. Then the spiritual truth behind the appearance will be made evident to you. In other words, you'll come out of the mind which sees opposites and look right into the invisible at the spiritual universe, the spiritual being, the spiritual, well, the spirit, your own consciousness revealed. Well, let us be still for a moment and see if there's anything to add. Take a breath, let it out, be still, listen. I want you to take into meditation this week at least the kingdom of heaven is not a place. What is it? Where is this consciousness? What separates me from standing in it and listening? If I stand in that consciousness and I see as God sees, who am I? If you are fortunate enough to have this book, look at this chapter that we read today, read from today. The World of Material Sense and the World of Spiritual Discernment, Chapter 5, Living Between Two Worlds. Most of it was dictated just 90 days before Joel left this plane and moved into the invisible full time. Joel's reaching out from that invisible, and when you stand in this consciousness we're speaking of, you can hear him and receive messages from him, from that consciousness which appeared as him, is better. So, it was a very, very important message. It's a very important chapter. It's a very important realization that you may have if you have ears to hear. If you have advanced to where you can hear my voice, not this voice on a talk, oh no, my voice from the invisible which has spoken today and is speaking, if you hear that voice, you shall awaken and you will be satisfied with thy likeness. Thank you so very much, all of you who have poured out your blessings to help bring this message forth. You who, much more than something in a material way, you who offer your receptive, uplifted consciousness and draw forth this type of talk, I cannot tell you how grateful I am. For this cause came I into the world. Blessings to you who have eyes to see, ears to hear, and the mind that was in Christ Jesus, for you shall not see death.